Welcome to the Ark Church Podcast. On here, you'll find all of our Sunday and Wednesday messages, as well as classes and special services. If you would like more information about the Ark Church, visit us at thearkchurch.com or download our app available to all app stores. Our heart for you is that you would live for God, grow stronger, and make a difference. Enjoy.
I grew up in the television generation. TVs had become, now I know this is going to date me. But there was a time when there wasn't a television in everybody's household. And when we got our first television, it was black and white. It's a big black and white deal. Don't look at me in that tone of voice. I know you're like, some of you are having to Google, what's a black and white television? It's television. In the old days, they used to have the rabbit ears on top of it. See, remember, anybody, rabbit ears were this, like an antenna, had these two parts of it, and you're always having to do it. Hold it, and usually the youngest child had to hold it while everybody else watched. And you say, Alan, do you miss those days? Not at all, not at all. The remote control was me getting up to change the channel, but it was only three channels. Can you believe that? Three, that's it. That's all we had. And then we got a color television, moving up in the big time. And then we got an antenna on top of the roof that when you turned it, that thing would, you could hear it turning. And it, do I miss those? No, I don't miss those days at all. There was a television show, though, that I liked. I thought it was a cool show. And it was called To Tell the Truth. Anybody, who remembers To Tell the Truth? Who's, okay. Who has no idea what I'm talking about? I could have made the whole thing up. All right. It was a show. Now, here was the premise. It started in 1956. It ran to 1968. And then they ran it in syndication to 1978. And the whole premise of the show was they would take, that three individuals would come out. You had a panel. It was a game show. And you had a panel of celebrity guests. And three people would come out. And I'll use this me, for example. I would step up and I would say, "Hi, my name is Alan Clayton." And then another person would step up and say, "My name is Alan Clayton." And then the third person would stand up and say, "And my name is Alan Clayton." So we had them all just kind of similar age and appropriate handsomeness. And hey, if I'm using me, we're going to make this good, right? And so what they would do is they would ask questions. And the panel would ask questions. And I'm the one, I was under contract. I had to tell the truth. These other guys, these were imposters, and they were trying to fool the panel. And so they said, "Alan Clayton is a pastor in Conroe, Texas, who started the church 29 years ago." And they said, "So I'd be contestant number one. Number one, did you actually start the church?" "Yes, yes, started with two other couples, total of 13 people." "And number two, how was it when you started?" "Oh, we started with 100 people, but it got going." So they're lying through their teeth. I'm the only ones telling the truth here. They're lying. And then what they're trying to do is fool the panel. And if they fool the panel, they got money. And so in the end, they would say, "Would the real Alan Clayton please stand up?" And then they would jump, and finally I would stand up, and we'd see if the panel was right or not. It was a good show. I know some of you are bored silly already, but it was a good show. Here's my point tonight. I want to talk, and this is just me going from my television background. This title of this message is "Will the Real You Speak Up?" I want to talk a little bit about tonight, about at least introduce the topic, oftentimes, of why people struggle so much in their Christian life, and what they can do, what you can do. I certainly won't call it a hack, but I will call it a spiritual truth that will help you. And it's something that sounds very simple, and yet it's a strong spiritual connection. Whoever said the Christian life is easy was not telling the truth. We're living in a world where it's almost like trying to swim upstream. There is a flow, there's a current, it's like in the world, that's negative, that's anti-God, that's dark, And as believers, we're swimming against that flow. Have you ever noticed that sometimes you can just go for a while and it seems like everything coming at you is negative? And this is one of the good reasons we have church. This is one of the reasons we have Wednesday night. Wednesday night's a great time to get a good dose of truth and light and help and strength so you can go back tomorrow and swim upstream again. Because there is a current, like a current that's flowing. And so we want to find out, well, God didn't just leave us down here just to be tossed to and fro. He gave us His Holy Spirit. He gave us His Word. And then He tells us some things that we can do that will actually help us and things we can do to help move us forward. I don't know about you. I don't like treading water and I don't like going backwards. I want to go forward. And so I know I'm talking to Wednesday night people and people who are watching online. And so let's talk about how we can go forward. But here's the neat thing about this. The Christian life, living a strong Christian life, won't just fall on you. And I got some other news too. It won't happen to you just by going to church. Going to church is to help you live this life. But obviously, you know, I can't be with you when you wake up tomorrow. And it would bother you. If you woke up and I was there going, good morning, let's go. That's not going to work. Now, I do have those devotionals. And if you listen to those, you get about 3 to 4 minutes of those. And that is me in your ear in the morning, which isn't a bad thing. But basically, you're going to have to live this life. And I know church, sometimes I used to feel like, not since I've been pastoring, but before I was a pastor, I used to feel like sometimes I would just drag myself into church. I was like, oh my gosh, I've been battling all week. I've been dealing with stuff. I need an injection. Aren't you glad we have such a good worship team? Aren't you glad that we can worship and just sometimes you just feel like, oh, Lord, just cleanse me, wash me from this day. But God didn't leave us down here helpless, and He didn't leave us weak. He gave us means by which we can get stronger. But we're going to have to do something about that. And so I want to talk about something that maybe this will be something that you've heard, maybe you haven't heard. If you haven't heard it, then listen, don't throw it away. It's good for you. The Bible will tell you some things. It will tell you who you were. Now, I know a lot of times people say, well, the Bible tells me about God, and it tells me about Jesus, and it tells me about some of the amazing things that happened in the past and what people did. And yes, that's true. But I don't know if you know this, but the Bible tells you about you. And it tells you, and when it becomes personal, it becomes powerful. But when you begin to find out what the Bible says about you. Now, Paul is writing to the church at Ephesus, the big church, and he writes them in the Ephesians. I want you to listen to what he's saying because he's telling them who they used to be, who they were. Ephesians 4. Now, this I say, this is Paul writing, and testifying to the Lord that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do in the futility of their minds. They're darkened in their understanding. They're alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardness of their heart. They've become callous and have given themselves up to sensuality, greedy to practice every kind of impurity. Now, Paul is not, he's not giving a scathing rebuke to the world. All these letters were written, but they weren't written to unbelievers. They were written to the church. So every time you see this, you're realizing that what Paul's doing is he's not rebuking people who came out of darkness. Listen, if you're in darkness, you don't know what's going on. How many of you can honestly say that your life has changed since you came to Christ? And that it's different than how it's different. And some of the things that you used to do, you don't do anymore. And a lot of times it's not immediate. It's a process. It happens over time. But he's saying, don't walk like the rest of the Gentiles. So Paul is saying, this is who you were. And he lays out who they were. And he said, you were living out of your heads. You're just totally in your head. You're darkened in your heart or your spirit. You're living outside of the knowledge of God, hardened in their hearts, living with no purity. The spiritual light's not on. I think sometimes we get upset and people get frustrated with people who have not come to faith, and they're angry at them, like, why aren't you living right? They don't know better. And if they're not born again, listen, the biggest issue with people who do not know the Lord is not what they're the impure things that they are doing. It's the fact that they've never made Jesus the Lord and Savior of their life. So telling people who are in the world who don't know Christ, hey, get your life cleaned up and then come to Christ is backwards. It's like come to Christ and let Him help you clean your life up and let Him change you. So this is why we shouldn't be angry at the world. I had some guys that I work with. I was 15 years. I was in sales before I pastored a church. And so I had some guys that I work with. And man, I work with some scoundrels. And so saints and scoundrels. I had them all at this one company I work with. And I remember this one guy. He was ragging on me. He's very intelligent. In fact, he was a brilliant guy. He'd actually served in the White House for a time, I think, under President Nixon. And he's a brilliant man, but he's very callous and can be very negative. And he began to tell me some things, and I just finally stopped him. I said, Steve, I'm not listening to that. I said, your opinion, what you're telling me, I said, it really doesn't mean much to me. He was so bold and blatant, I just had to hit him back in love. And he said, why don't you listen to me? He said, why not? I said, I don't listen to blind art critics. If you're blind, you can't see the painting. So you can't critique it. Someone's saying, well, can you see that painting? No, I'm blind. I can't see it. Well, then you can't tell me if it's beautiful or if it's nasty. Or you can't tell me anything about it. You can't see it. We deal with people in the world, and they're spiritually, they are blind. Yes. They can't see. So I don't let them tell me about Jesus. They don't know. I don't let them tell me about God. They don't know. But we deal with people who just simply don't know. And Paul is writing to the church. He's saying, this is what you were. You were this. Your hearts were hardened. You were dark. How many of you, some of you can remember before you came to the Lord, if someone started talking to you about the Lord, you would shut them down. None of you here, maybe this is a Sunday crowd, but it just, you would shut them down. Your heart was hardened. You didn't want to hear any of that. And I remember sometimes people would try to witness to me and I'm laughing it off. I'm mocking it. I didn't want to be a part of that. That's what I was. And so what Paul's writing to this church, he's saying, guys, this is what you used to be. He says, but who are you now? The Bible tells us who we are now. Ephesians 4 again. Let's go back. Paul said, but that's not the way you learn Christ. Assuming you've heard about Him and were taught in Him as the truth is in Jesus, to put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Now that's a lot, but he's saying, listen, he said, you used to be in darkness. He says, but now you found the truth that's in Jesus. He said, so what you need to begin to do is you begin to put off the way you used to live, and you become renewed in the spirit of your mind. That's what you're doing in here tonight. You're renewing your mind. You're learning your thought processes and your attitude and how you think is different. And it's changing. And so we're being renewed and we're putting on the new man. Now, I know sometimes people, I don't hear it as much as I used to, but it would frustrate people when I would say things like, I smoked weed and chased women and went to clubs and partied a lot. And people are looking at me like, I had people say, I wish you wouldn't talk about that. And I'm looking at them like, why not? I'm not glorying in it. I'm not saying I was the most awesome disco guy that existed. I'm just glad that no one had cameras back then. I really am. I'm like, ooh, it would be bad. But I'm not glorying in that. I understand when I say, yeah, I used to smoke weed. Yeah, I used to chase women. Yeah, I used to party too much. Yeah, I did all that, going to clubs. I did all that. I'm not embarrassed of that because that was the old man. That's who I was. That's not who I am. And so that didn't bother me at all. I think sometimes people want their pastor to be perfect. You got the wrong church. I am not perfect. Newsflash, and neither is any pastor out there. We are not perfect, so we're not going to... It's ridiculous to put ourselves on a pedestal and try to act like we are. We're not. We are all in a process. If it wasn't for the grace of God, I would not be here. If it wasn't for His mercy and His grace. So that's where we are. And when Paul is talking, he's writing to the church, keep in mind, they didn't have YouTube. They didn't have a bunch of people they could listen to. These people were coming out of pagan cultures. Now, we think it's bad sometimes in America. Oh, buddy. The way some of these cities lived back in Paul's day, you would, oh, man, make your hair curl. It's some tough stuff. And so Paul he's writing to people who were coming out of very pagan, very, very pagan cultures, very promiscuous cultures. And he's writing to them. He's saying, you need to put off that old man and you need to be renewed. You need to think differently. And then you need to put on the new man. Now, here's what he says about the new man. He said, the new man is created after God in true righteousness. Now, created after God. Did you catch that? Created after, and I like this, and it says ESV, created in the likeness of God. I don't think we realize how valuable what God did in us and how important it was. Created in the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. I won't ask for a show of hands, but if I said, okay, how many of you are new creations in Christ? A lot of times people's hands go up. How many of you are created in the likeness of God in righteousness and holiness? And you're like, don't know about that. And yet this is what Paul is talking about. He's telling them who you are. We know what we were, but we need to find out who we are and find out who we are from a spiritual standpoint. You know, if everything, when you made Jesus your Lord, if you woke up the next day looking completely different, it would be easy to understand change. But you didn't wake up completely different because the change was spiritual. And so the key is, now what we're learning is, how do we learn who we are according to the Scriptures? According to what does the Bible say about us? We need to begin to focus on that. So what are you saying about yourself? Here's a good example. John the Baptist was the forerunner of Jesus. And when John showed up on the scene, in Israel, they had really had no national prophet. There were godly people around, but there was no national prophetic voice. There was no one who had captured the interest of the nations. And when John the Baptist showed up, man, it was just like a lightning bolt from heaven. And people were coming from all over the nation. They were getting baptized. They were confessing their sins. And immediately the people began to think, oh, wait, maybe this is the Messiah. You know, Israel had been looking for the Messiah for over 400. They hadn't had a prophetic voice in over 400 years. 400 years. And so now you got John the Baptist, and he's out there, and he's talking to people, calling them snakes and vipers, and telling them they need to repent. And he just had a pretty fiery message. And so they sent people to him. Let's look at what happened here. This John 1. This is the testimony of John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, who are you? He confessed and did not deny, but confessed, I am not the Christ. And they asked him, what then, are you Elijah? And he said, I'm not. And he said, are you the prophet? And he answered, no. So they said to him, who are you? We need to give an answer to those who sent us. What do you say about yourself? And he said, I am the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, as the prophet Isaiah said. Now, when you read that, you think, oh, okay, what does John say? They asked John, they said, are you the Christ? He said, no. He said, are you Elijah? The prophecies was that the forerunner of Jesus would come in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers back to the children. He said, are you Elijah? No. Are you the prophet? He said, no. And they finally asked him, who are you? What do you say about yourself? That's a great question. What do you say about yourself? Here's what John said. John said, I'm the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, as the prophet Isaiah said. What John did was John went right to a scripture. It's Isaiah chapter 40, verse 3. He went right to the scripture and said, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. So John went to the Bible and in the Old Testament and found, and my guess is, because it doesn't have his name, John the Baptist, he was probably reading one day, because he was raised in a priest home. He was raised in a godly environment. So he's probably reading one day and it began to dawn on him. He read that and the Holy Spirit probably witnessed to his heart, this is you. You are the voice of one crying in the wilderness. So he identified with what the scripture said about him. And here is a key. What he said about himself. Now, you know what he could have said? He could have said, I'll tell you what I am. I'm the best thing that's hit Israel in about 400 years. I'm the hottest prophet going. I'm the man. I got it going on. Just line up, because, buddy, we got it happening. No, he went to the scriptures and said who he was from the scriptures. Now, that you say, well, Alan, that's John the Baptist, and I'm not John the Baptist. I'm not special like that. Jesus said, he who is least in the kingdom of God is greater than John the Baptist. Oh, that would be you. That would be, understand that John the Baptist was not born again, not recreated in Christ Jesus. He was not a new creation. He was operating under the Old Testament with the Holy Spirit anointing on him to be a prophet. You are a child of God, a son of God, a daughter of God, born into God's family, born as a new creation, born in the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Now that's who you are. Well, then where does the conflict come in? I tell you where it comes in. Because we don't feel that way. And we don't look that way. And we still struggle with stuff. And we're like, wait a minute, hold, hang on. And so how do we begin to make that jump? Because what is happening is this is not a reality. It's not real to us. Now I'll tell you what's real to you. How many of you can honestly say, I am saved, I am born again. I'm a new creation in Christ. Well, not every hand went up, so you can believe we're going to take an altar call tonight. But how many of you have known the Lord? You've been walking with the Lord. You're his child, I'd say over 10 years. Okay, there's a lot of hands. How many of you are more convinced now you are saved than you were 10 years ago? You're solid on that. Could we talk you out of it now? No. Couldn't talk you out. Now, when you first came to the Lord, maybe you didn't do this, but when I first came back to the Lord, I was a little hesitant about it. Alan, are you saved? I'm like, hope so. Think so. But what's happened is over the years, as I've spent time in the scriptures, I've spent time in God's word, what happens is it begins to grow on the inside. And you begin to say, oh, yeah. You know, one of the things we say in here every week, I am a new creation in Christ. And so that starts to get on the inside of you. And right now, you couldn't beat it out of me. So, well, you're not saved, Alan, because you didn't get baptized the way we're supposed to baptize, or you didn't get saved in my church. I'm going to politely bless your heart. Because I know better. Because it's become more real to me. So here's the kicker. So, great. How does it become more real? Well, one of the reasons was the importance of speaking what you believe. The importance of speaking. Now, I'm going to take you, we won't have time, but let's look at this. Romans 10, 6 through 10. So here is what can be the missing link But the righteousness based on faith says, do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down, or who will descend into the abyss, that is to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith that we proclaim. Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. In the scriptures, in the spiritual truths that we are learning about, there is a connection between heart and mouth. And you need to have God's word in both places, in your heart and in your mouth. Now, someone came down to the front, and they came after a service. They said, man, Alan, I really want to get saved. I said, would you? I said, okay. Well, we're going to pray. I'll lead you in a prayer. And you pray with me. And so I said, Father, say this. Yeah, I know I can't save myself. And they sat there like this. And I said, now you're going to need to pray with me. Heavenly Father, I know mankind needs a Savior. I'm going to be nice. I'm going to smile and say, now, I'm going to need you to say this. I can't pray you into salvation. This needs to be you doing this. How many of you know you can't get someone saved? Salvation's personal. That's why you can't bank on grandma's faith or daddy's or mama's faith. You got to have your own. You got to come to the Lord on your own. And so if I had them, and they're saying nothing, then I say, okay, what I would probably do is send them back. I say, I need you to read these scriptures. Come back and see me next week. We're going to pray. Because what? The word is near you. It's in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word that we preach. That's the word of faith that we preach. And one of the biggest keys that will help you more than anything else, well, I won't say more than anything else, is I know everyone here reads Bible 365. But not just read it. We want to learn to put it in our mouth. That what we begin to say is kind of like John the Baptist said, I tell you who I am, he said, I'm the voice of one crying in the wilderness. And he said that, and he was convinced of it, and evidently that was enough for them. But what we need to say, because the enemy will say, well, what do you say about yourself? Because I know you. I know you're worth nothing. You are nothing. You are no one. Who do you think you are that you're going to be this righteous person? Who do you think you are that you're going to live for God? You better have an answer for him. So I'm going to tell you who I am. I have been washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. I'm created in the likeness of God. And I am righteous in holiness before him. I'm his child. I'm a new creation. You got to have an answer. We need an answer because the world is asking and the darkness is asking, who are you? And we've got a whole book that tells us who we are because you made Jesus your Lord. It needs to be in two places, in your heart and in your mouth. You say, well, how do I even do that? Well, after a night of worship, I will tell you how you do that. But here's the thing. Have some scriptures that you regularly begin to speak about yourself out loud. Now, I'm not saying you have to run down, knock on your neighbor's door, and go, I want to tell you something. I'm a new creation in Christ, and old things. Get it in your own private, personal life first. But learn to say it out loud. You say, well, Alan, I'm not an expressive person. Well, change. Change. Lord spoke to me when I was a couple of years ago. Some of you were here when I had my voice just left me. And I couldn't speak. And I don't know sign language, so I'm done. And I remember the Lord spoke that to my heart. And it was so, he said, if it's not in your mouth, it's not near you. He said, the word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. He said, it needs to get in your mouth. And I began to speak what what the scriptures have said about who I was and what Jesus has done for me. And thank God, my voice is back and it's strong. And so I'm grateful. I never forget when I walked in and the doctor who was getting ready to do a procedure on me, he said, "How you doing?" I said, "I spoke up." I said, "I'm doing fine." He stopped. He said, "What happened to you?" I smiled. I said, "You forget who I work for." I work for the one who can change stuff, and he can change things. And yes. And I'm no more special than you. Don't let that bother you, but I'm no more special than you. When it comes to standing before the throne, I don't stand as Pastor Allen, and you stand as just a regular church member. We stand in Christ with boldness to enter because of what he's done for us, not because of the position that we hold. Would you bow your head for a moment? Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. If you're here this evening and you say, "You know what, Allen, I don't even know if I have a relationship with the Lord. I'm not sure, but I want to be." Or maybe you're like I was and you had come to a relationship with the Lord and you fell away. And you realize tonight, man, I don't want to live there. I want to come back. We're going to say a prayer. It's a simple, short prayer. We're not going to ask you to stand up or come to the front. Sitting right where you are, if that's you that I'm talking to and you say, "Allen, I want in on this. Would you pray for me?" Would you slip your hand up across this auditorium? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thanks. Thank you for your courage. Anybody else? Thank you. Yeah, I got you way in the back. Good. Wonderful. Thank you. You can put your hands down. We're going to pray. Now, if you lifted your hand, we're going to pray with you. Those of you, maybe you didn't lift your hand, you wanted to. And if you're online, obviously I can't see you, but we can pray this prayer together. We're going to pray it out loud. We're going to pray it with you as a church family. If you're at home and you're watching by yourself, pray it out loud. If you're with others, pray it quietly. But say this, say, "Dear God, I know mankind needs a Savior. I know I can't save myself. Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you died on the cross for my sins. And God raised you from the dead. Right now, I confess you as my Lord, as my Savior, as the one who forgives me and restores me. Thank you, Jesus. My past is forgiven. I have a relationship with you. I'm a new creation in Christ because I've said yes to you." Father, thank you. Thank you for those that prayed that prayer with their heart, with their mouth. Thank you, Father, that confession is made unto salvation. Father, for those who are restored, we are grateful. For those who've come out of darkness into light, we are grateful. And Father, for the rest of us, we are thankful for what you've done. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your grace. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Thank you for joining us. We hope this message has blessed you. Don't forget to check us out on all the social platforms. We're uploading encouraging content on a regular basis. For more information, go to thearcchurch.com. Have a great week.